G'day, I'm Mike Bueller.
And I'm Mark Sanders.
And we will be joined next time by our good friend Kyle Roberts. And this is the Mike, Mark, and Kyle Sports Show. We used to be on the radio here in Poplar Bluff several years ago from late 2010 to early 2011. And after 13 and a half years, we are back in the saddle. Mark, how does it feel to be back?
Just great.
We got a lot to discuss on the sports show this week, and we are going to lead off by talking about our favorite sport, the National Football League.
Absolutely.
Mark, give me some thoughts on some games.
Okay. Well, my focus is always on the Minnesota Vikings.
Of course.
And they broke an unfortunate two-game losing streak with an ugly but efficient win on Sunday Night Football over the Indianapolis Colts, who fell to 4-5, the Vikings improved to 6-2, and they will be taking on the extremely shorthanded and unfortunate Jacksonville Jaguars in Duval County. That will be a noon game this Sunday. I think the Vikings are expected to win that fairly easily, which of course means that they are going to struggle to defeat the Jags and probably will have to rely on a last-minute field goal from a brand-new kicker. You may not know this, but both the Vikings place kicker Will Reichard and their Pro Bowl long snapper Andrew DePaola are both on the four-week injured reserve. So we've got a new long snapper who was previously with the Rams, and a new place kicker, John Parker Romo. He was in training camp, but did not make the team once their draft pick, Will Reichard, who hadn't missed a kick all season, and then he missed two field goals in the first half against the Vikings. So that should be a good game. Our Thursday night game tonight is Bengals at Ravens. That should be a really good game.
Oh, yes.
For all of you red and gold fans out there in Chiefs Nation, the 8-0 Chiefs will be playing one of their divisional rivals, the Denver Broncos. That is a Sunday noon game, unusual time for the Chiefs. They've usually got the afternoon spot. But they'll be taking on the Broncos at Arrowhead, and that is a noon game. Giants and the Panthers in the Toilet Bowl held over in Munich, Germany. I don't know what Germany did to us to deserve that, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. One of the good early games, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are surprising 6-2. I say surprising since they don't really have a starting quarterback, against the even more surprising 7-2 Washington Commanders. And they feature Jalen Daniels, who is almost certainly to be a lock for Offensive Rookie of the Year in
the
NFL.
Fun story. We have a story in today's Daily American Republic about Jaden Daniels on the inside of our sports section.
Oh, super. I'll have to take a look at that. The 6-3 Falcons will take on the nosediving Saints in New Orleans. That should be an easy win for Kirk Cousins and company. We've got a really tough game between the 49ers and the Buccaneers. Those are two teams that have good rosters but have underachieved in the win-loss column, so that should be a really good one. The Colts, who we talked about before, will be losing to the Buffalo Bills at home. Patriots and Bears, boy, who knows? You know, the Bears should have an easy time at Soldier Field taking on the Patriots, but they've been so up and down this year, and their head coach, Matt Eberflus, could conceivably be fired if they drop one to the woeful Patriots. And I just can't tell you how much joy it fills my soul to say the woeful Patriots. I've been waiting a decade and a half for that. Mike, your Tennessee Titans are unfortunately on the road in Los Angeles to take on the 5-3 Chargers, and that does not look good for the boys in Tennessee.
By the way, just so you know, folks, we have the fewest wins in the National Football League. We are tied with several other teams at 2 wins, and there is a good chance that we are going to go 2-15 this year and get the number one pick, or at least score an extremely high pick.
And you really need a quarterback. Mason Rudolph or Will Levis, either one, are not the answer there.
While I'm not completely ready to give up on Levis yet, I could very much see him not panning out. He's going to have to get it together really quick, or we are going to have to do something else. I'm going to be blunt. I love my guys in Two-Tone Blue. I'm a passionate fan, but I got to say it this year. We suck.
Unfortunately, yes. That's what happens in the NFL when you do not have a high-quality starting quarterback. The afternoon games, Eagles are taking on the Cowboys. That game has lost their luster because the Cowboys absolutely suck on both sides of the ball. Speaking of teams that suck, the Jets are visiting the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are frisky. The Jets are stinky. And then the Sunday night game should be a heck of a contest. The best team in football. Sorry, Chiefs Nation, you're just going to have to deal with it. The Detroit Lions will be taking on the Houston Texans.
And somewhere somebody is singing, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine."
Yeah. Our Monday night game is the Miami Dolphins going all the way out to the left coast to take on the Los Angeles Rams. The Dolphins are probably better than their 2-6 record. They got Tua Tagovailoa back off of injured reserve. I'm not sure how good of an idea that was. He is literally one more concussion away from life in a wheelchair. Nevertheless, he is back, and they are taking on the Rams. And as the Rams showed in their victory 2 weeks ago over the Vikings, they are a lot better than their 4-4 record. So that should be a good game. The records wouldn't indicate, but I think that's going to be an entertaining tilt next Monday.
I agree, and just looking ahead to next week, a very special episode of the Mike, Mark, and Kyle Sports Show next week, because not only are we going to be joined by Kyle, but we are going to be talking about my woeful Tennessee Titans playing Mark's rockin' awesome Minnesota Vikings, and if everything works out, we're not going to go into details because we don't know for sure yet, but Mark may be at that game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the possibility. We'll wait and hear from media relations over in Nashville, but hopefully they will give us the answer that we are looking for. And by the way, I have been a Vikings fan since the mid-1970s, and so the last thing that you'll ever hear me do is trash talk another team on behalf of the Vikings. We do not want to anger the football gods for any reason. So Vikings fans take nothing for granted until it's fourth quarter and the clock is showing zeros.
Understand that, but the thing is, you are playing a very horrible Titans team, and you all are going to be very clear favorites against us.
I think we could probably say that, but you know, it is the NFL, and literally anything can happen on any given week, especially on the road.
Bit of quick trivia about this game: the Minnesota Vikings, one of their star wide receivers is second-year player Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison has roots here in Poplar Bluff, as his grandfather, Lee James Gladney, is a Poplar Bluff High School graduate, and his great-uncle, Jimmy Gladney, is a former winner of the Carr Trophy, which is the Southeast Missouri answer to the Heisman Trophy. And I believe you went to high school with Jimmy, Mark.
I would have to look that up.
I think he was a couple years ahead of you.
Well, if he was there in the 80s, we probably crossed paths in the same building.
Yep. That's how it went at Poplar Bluff back then. Speaking of football, Mark and me have been following the Poplar Bluff Mules this year. They are playing the Cape Central Tigers tomorrow night in Cape Girardeau in the Class 5 District 1 semifinals. The Mules are going to be clear underdogs in that game. However, they are road warriors, and you cannot count them out. Mark's been following the Mules all year. You can tell us about that.
Well, it was a woeful start to the beginning of the season. There's just no doubt at all that the Mules were not playing good football, and it showed on the field. They did gut out a close win against Chaminade early on in the season. They were fortunate to catch them when they did, because Chaminade has gone on to have a very good record, and in fact they are playing in the second week of their district playoffs this weekend as well. The Mules played their week 3 homecoming game against Farmington, and although the Mules offense scored 33 points, their defense could not stop Farmington's running game, and so they lost that game by 36-33. The next week, following game at home again against the visiting Cape Central Tigers, and that game was an absolute blowout, 49-6, if memory serves correct. But since that time, the real turn for the Mules this season was a one-point win on the road at Sikeston. And then, strangely enough, they came home for a game at West Plains. And even though they lost that game in overtime, they played really well on both sides of the ball against a good West Plains team. And even though they lost that game in overtime, you could see that something different had happened with this team. And then they went on with a blowout win at Kennett, and then an unexpected road win against Hillsboro, and then the rematch against Farmington in Farmington last week, which the Mules absolutely dominated from the outset of that game. They ended up winning unbelievable score, 56-21. Now, obviously, Cape Central is a much better team than Farmington. Farmington got wiped out by Cape. And actually, Cape has wiped out pretty much every team they've played, with the exception of Jackson.
Of course.
Who did beat Cape. But they're getting a completely different Mules team here. The offense is playing with all kinds of confidence. Jay Edmondson has been amazing in the backfield as their quarterback. He can run. He can pass short. He can pass deep. His accuracy on almost all of his passes has improved. He is clearly the team leader. He's got a core of fast receivers with really good hands, led by Hunter Clifford and Logan Slack. And then they've got sophomore Devin Ferguson, who is, I heard somebody, it was, I believe, the Mules radio sportscaster stole a line from Ted Lasso and said that Devin runs like he's angry at the grass, which is a great line. Those of you who are Roy Kent fans will remember that from the Ted Lasso show. But yeah, everything is working on offense. The defense has improved greatly. They're getting some pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They've really worked hard, and this was their big problem against Farmington, and it was also their problem stopping the running game, especially these option runs that a lot of high school teams are very good at. Even sitting in the press box watching the games, it's confusing to follow the ball to see who's actually running. And the teams that do it well, and Cape is one of those teams that does it well, it's really difficult to see. You have to keep your eye on the ball, and you have to stay in your lane. You have to stay with your assignment and not get run over because you don't know who has the ball. So I think that's really going to be the key for the Mules defense against Cape, is just limit those long runs. You know, if they can stop the run and put Cape in third down situations where they have to pass. I like the Mules secondary. They've been playing good. I think they're still vulnerable to those long shots over the top. They still have a tendency to let receivers get behind them deep, but this is where pressure comes on. So, yes, it's a big ask for the Mules this week. But, like you said, they are road warriors. They all five games that they've won this season for their 5-5 record, they've all been road wins. I talked to Mules head coach Jeff Mannin this week, and he said not only is the team confident in their ability to play against Cape, but they're having a lot of fun. They've come together as a team. They work together as a team. I talked to several players after the Farmington win and described it as a family, that they've really come together as a family. They're understanding the program that Mannin has been trying to install here in his first season as the Mules head coach. And so, I would give them, I would say, maybe about a 40-45% chance of pulling the upset. You know, if I was an odds maker, I'd say, well, I don't think it's a coin flip, but I think it's almost a coin flip. And I really think the key is going to be the defense. I think that the offense has improved enough that they can score enough points to win. The question is that can they limit the damage that Cape's offense is going to do? Because, I mean, they've had a really good season. They're well coached. They've got a really good athletes. It is a David and Goliath situation for them. But, you know, a lot of times the underdog does come through. I think the one thing to look for is whether Poplar Bluff can get out to an early lead and see if maybe we can get Cape to begin to worry a little bit. I don't know if their team is feeling overconfident or, it's Bluff. We beat them crazy earlier in the season. They're not playing the same Poplar Bluff team. And so I think if they take us for granted, they're in for a long night of football up there in Cape Girardeau.
And one thing you said earlier, you were talking about how Manning has stressed, you know, how they've come together as a family. That's something that has been a big goal of Manning's this year. Is, you know, when we visited, he's talked about wanting to get a culture of family. He, you know, he's talking about wanting to build a culture here. And I think that's going to be fun to watch, you know, not only this week, but also in the coming seasons to see him do that. Because I think, you know, he would like to see us, and I know a lot of us would like to see Poplar Bluff get to the level of a program that Jackson is currently, where you're competing, you know, for state titles year in and year out.
Right, and that's not an overnight process. You know, that is a program and a culture that has to be built up from the seventh grade on. You know, you have to identify speed, and then at some point in high school, size. You have to build strength, and you have to instill all of those football fundamentals. And I think Coach Manning is doing that. You know, I think we're seeing it certainly at the freshman and the JV level. But it is going to take a few years to cultivate those plans that he's putting in. But they are a fun team to watch, and I certainly wouldn't have said that in the middle of the season. But for anyone who gets a chance to listen to this before Friday, if you don't have any plans, get in the car and drive up to Cape and support your Poplar Bluff Mules.
Another team that's playing tomorrow night, a game that you're going to be at, the undefeated Dexter Bearcats. They are coming off their first undefeated regular season in 38 years, and they are playing the Fredericktown Black Cats. Any thoughts on that game, Mark?
Well, I haven't had the chance, because I've been covering the Mules, I haven't had a chance to watch the Bearcats play, but I do know that their coach has a really good program there. They've got a running back who has just been a monster this year. I think he's rushed for more than 900 yards. If memory serves me, I think I read about them earlier. Fredericktown is just 4-6. I don't want to jinx our friends in Dexter, but I think this should be a pretty easy game for Dexter. I would imagine that we're going to get a continuous clock in the second half. So I don't anticipate that as too much of a challenge. I know that Dexter's coach would probably tell me to be quiet at this point. But, I mean, really, they have superior athletes. They have a superior team on both sides of the ball. So I think this should be, I'll give you a 98% chance of a Dexter victory on Friday night.
I could see that. Another thing we've got going on in this area this week is Cape Girardeau is doing its last roundup hosting the state volleyball tournament that is going on today, tomorrow, and Saturday. One team right here in Southeast Missouri that is playing in it is Advance. That's the team I've got to see play this year. And they're kind of the Kansas City Chiefs of Class 1 state volleyball. They, you know, I've even told a friend of mine that's a parent over there, I said, you guys remind me of the Kansas City Chiefs last season. You know, the Chiefs last season, they had some struggles in the regular season. They got beat on Christmas Day. They were 9-6, you know, after that. And a lot of people figured that they wouldn't be surprised that the Chiefs got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. Well, instead, the Chiefs got in the playoffs. They got hot. They went to Baltimore and stunned Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to get back to the Super Bowl. And then in the Super Bowl, they outlasted the 49ers in overtime. And this Advance Hornets team reminds me a little bit of that. Had some struggles in the regular season playing perhaps the toughest Class 1 schedule in the state of Missouri. But it paid off, because since they've gotten to the postseason, I think they've dropped just a total of two sets in two district games, a sectional game, and a quarterfinal game. They're playing tomorrow against Santa Fe. If they win, they play either Winona or Jasper for their third straight state title in a row. If they win that, that will be their second three-peat since 2018.
Wow, that's really amazing, especially for a small school like Advance to have three in a row. That is something that you rarely see these days.
Indeed. Their coach, Aaron Hoffman, is kind of a legend among Southeast Missouri high school volleyball coaches. I've said that she is the Jean Bess of Southeast Missouri high school volleyball. She knows how to get them winning. She knows how to get the wins in the big games. And like I said, they're on the verge of possibly doing their second three-peat since 2018.
Nice. Well, good luck.
Another thing, you know, looking a little bit to college football, we're going to start off with Mark's alma mater. The Missouri Tigers are taking on their former Big 12 rivals, the Oklahoma Sooners, Saturday, and now they are conference rivals again as they are both in the SEC. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that it's really unfortunate that our first conference match with Oklahoma comes at a time where the Tigers are really struggling. It doesn't look like starting quarterback Brady Cook is going to be healthy enough to go, so we're going with the backup quarterback Pine. Scott, is it Scott? I think it's Scott Pine. Anyway, he came in through the transfer portal. He has not really availed himself very impressively in a couple of backup times. Maybe he'll look a little bit better, having some time getting some reps with the first team in preparation for Oklahoma. Oklahoma has certainly not met expectations this season either, but it's Oklahoma. I mean, anyone who went to Mizzou in the 70s or 80s still has PTSD over those matches with the Sooners, including the Norman Conquest, the infamous game where Missouri traveled to Norman, Oklahoma, and came back after suffering a 77-0 defeat. So as much as I would love to see us beat the Sooners, I don't really like our chances. I give us about a 1-in-3 chance of winning this game, and I think that that if we do, it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think we're really going to have to rely on our defense and hope that that our running game can get some production, and then maybe Pine can get some balls to Luther Burden and some of those other Missouri defenders. And then, you know, I don't really know how to explain it. I mean, Missouri had some dreams after last season's success about being in the mix for the top 12 in the college football playoff. But after their close win over Vanderbilt, that looked like a loss, and then after getting destroyed at Texas A&M, it was pretty clear that for whatever reason, this Missouri team did not resemble the championship level Missouri team that we saw last season. And that's just the nature of college football, unless your name is Alabama or Georgia, you know, or I guess Oregon now, you know, unless you are one of these platinum top 5 or 6 programs, you just can't expect to be at the top every season. It is just one of those unfortunate things. So, you know, I will be rooting for the Tigers, but it's, you know, it's Oklahoma, and wins against Oklahoma are few and far between, and I don't expect to see one this weekend. But, you know, I'm often wrong, so hopefully I'm wrong about it this time. But I don't have a good feeling. Maybe if we had a healthy Brady Cook, and if our starting running back Noel was healthy, my attitude might be a little bit different about this. But in any event, go Tigers.
Speaking of Tigers and Alabama, the Alabama Crimson Tide are going to be on the road taking on the LSU Tigers. Any thoughts on that one?
If that game is going to be at LSU, I would give the edge to the Tigers. Obviously, Bama is rebuilding with their new coach who came over from Washington, Calvin DeBoer. Obviously, he is a high-level talent in the college football ranks. But any time that you say goodbye to a legendary coach like Nick Saban, with the NIL and the transfer portal, you know, obviously they lost some athletes who said, oh, I came to play for Saban. And also not knowing how DeBoer would do this year, and they have been up and down. Obviously, they've had some big wins, such as the one against Georgia, the comeback victory there, and also some fairly ignominious losses, such as the aforementioned Vanderbilt Commodores. And give Vandy credit; they're better than they used to be. But if you're Alabama, you should beat Vanderbilt. There's never an excuse for losing to Vanderbilt if you're the Crimson Tide. So and LSU, it doesn't matter. They're always good at home. It's going to be your typical SEC environment, which is just crazy with those fans. So I would say LSU by 3.
It's going to be interesting. And again, from the files of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and We Feel Fine, the Indiana Hoosiers are hosting the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday afternoon. And not only are the Hoosiers undefeated, they are 2 touchdown favorites over the Wolverines. The apocalypse must be nearing, Mark.
Well, you know, their head coach, Jim Harbaugh, is now coaching in Los Angeles for the Chargers. And their national champion quarterback is rehabbing his injured knee on the sidelines for the Minnesota Vikings. And we are so looking forward to having J.J. McCarthy under center and on the field for us in 2025. Thank you very much, Sam Darnold, for coming in and filling the seat and playing beyond everyone's expectations. We wish you the best of luck with your next team, but McCarthy is next up.
Switching to another quick subject, Mark and me are both diehard St. Louis Blues fans. The Blues are playing tonight against the Utah Hockey Club. What are your thoughts on the Blues this season?
Well, first of all, I want to express my thoughts about the name, the Utah Hockey Club. Are you kidding me? Seriously, are you kidding me? You know, the Blues are in another rebuild, the first full season with their new head coach. It looks like they're doing okay right now. They're in fourth place in the Central, tied with the Dallas Stars for 14th with 14 points on the new season. That's actually a tie for third place. Winnipeg is running away with the Central Division in the Western Conference so far this season with 24 points, and the Minnesota Wild stand in second place with 18 points. And if we look at the wild card rankings in the Western Conference, the Blues are currently sitting in second. I know it's early, but you know, we always think about playoffs. You know, if you can make the playoffs in the NHL, you can do about anything. So the Blues are currently sitting at 7-6. They need to score more goals. They need to get better on defense. But again, I would consider this season to be an active rebuild, and they are still looking for that spark that's going to put them on a win streak and move them up in the standings.
Indeed. Switching back a little more locally, the Three Rivers Raiders and Lady Raiders both play this weekend. The men are heading to Moberly for a shootout. They will be taking on Highland, Illinois Friday evening, and then taking on Southeastern Iowa on Saturday afternoon. Meanwhile, our Lady Raiders are playing here in Poplar Bluff at the Libla Family Sports Complex. They are playing tomorrow evening against, let me get my schedule here up real quick. They are playing against Northeastern Oklahoma A&M tomorrow evening. And then on Saturday afternoon, they are playing John A. Logan. And the Lady Raiders have national championship aspirations. That's what happens when you return 12 players from a team that made it to the Final Eight last year. And so far, they are 1-1. Their one loss coming to a top three Wabash Valley team in overtime.
Yeah, I spoke to Coach Alex Wiggs a few days before the season started. And one of the things that he said is that they intentionally created a tough schedule for themselves in November, a way of testing themselves against the top some of the top talent in the nation, seeing what they're doing well, seeing what they still need to work on and improve. I just know this. When we get to the end of the season, Wiggs should have these athletes playing at the top of their game. They have a lot of leadership on that team. They have a lot of talent. You know, and they definitely have the determination to get back out to Casper, Wyoming, and get all the way to the championship game. You know, it's the proof is going to come out there on the hardwood, but I have every confidence that when we get to the end of the season, they're going to be right there.
Good deal. And the men's basketball team is off to a 3-0 start after picking up a 58-48 win Tuesday night against ASU Newport. And one thing that's big about that is they are 3-0 for the first time in 8 years. 2016-2017 season, the Raiders started 10-0 and ended up 25-8 and winning the Region 16 championship, which is the last time the team has won that championship. So it is exciting to see this Raiders team, you know, off to such a good start. They're giving up 55.3 points per game, which is a smothering defense. They have not allowed more than 61 points in a game. And the team seems like it's really buying into Robert Kirby's defense-first philosophy.
You know, Coach Kirby played under Gene Bess on one of our two national championships at Three Rivers. And, you know, he has a large task. I mean, he is the first men's basketball coach not named Bess since the 1960s. So, yep. I mean, you know, it is a huge legacy to follow in. The fact that Coach Kirby played for Gene Bess, I think, was one of the things that enabled this transition to go so successfully. So one of the things that you often see in a program is that when you can bring in someone new who has a history with the team and the program and the community, but also some different outside experience and some other skills to draw on, is oftentimes the newness, you know, just the fresh ideas and the fresh face and the different attitude can often motivate the team to move in a more positive direction. Obviously, Brian Bess did a good job during his tenure, when you have to follow up a legend like Gene Bess, you know, it's going to be hard. You know, the only way that you could get beyond that is, you know, I suppose to three-peat on national championships or something like that. So, but Brian did a good job during his tenure. We shouldn't overlook the importance of his role as an assistant coach during the end of his father's tenure. You know, he was very active in that. And so, you know, he had a great career, and I'm sure he is enjoying retirement and not having to go through the grind. And yeah, it's, you know, how exciting would it be to have both a men's and a women's program at Three Rivers, both of whom have championship aspirations, both of whom can compete for a regional title and a trip to the national championship tournament.
Bit of trivia, the men's and women's teams have made the national tournament in the same season only once in program history, and that was 30 years ago, back in March 1995. I think one of the most recent times where both teams were right in the thick of the national tournament hunt would have been about 2002-03, when the men's team did win the region tournament and go to Hutch, and the women's team was a very strong contender to go to their national tournament before getting upset in the region tournament and missing out. This is before they had the at-large format for the national tournament, else both of them might have made it that year as well.
Well, interesting. Let's make a little history this year, okay?
Indeed. Sounds great. And that's our show for this week. We will be back doing this again next week. We'll be talking more about the stuff that has gone on in the week before and probably talking about a few other things. I would say this winter we're going to talk more about the St. Louis Cardinals rebuild. Now, those are words that you never expect to hear in the same sentence, Cardinals and rebuild. The Cardinals have been contenders for so long, and for this team to be, you know, getting talked about like we used to talk about the Cubs is another thing of cue up. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yes, but remember that about 3 or 4 years before the Cubs finally won that elusive World Series, they went through a very similar process, basically stripping the team down to the basics and then developing a lot of talent and then bringing in a couple of free agent stars to seal the deal for them. The Cardinals' rebuild has been long overdue. They have a completely depleted farm system. They have veterans who are not living up to the size of their contracts. And worst of all, they have a listless and apathetic fan base. St. Louis Cardinals fans expect to be in the hunt for playoffs, not just playoffs, but a National League pennant and a possible World Series. That's what we've come to expect from Cardinals baseball. And it is one of those programs like the Yankees and the Dodgers where if you don't make it to the World Series, it has not been a successful season. We're not like the other teams in the National League Central. We are the cream of the crop. We are the diamond franchise. We haven't looked like that in several years, and that needs to change as soon as possible.
100% agreed. And I'm Mike Buehler.
I'm Mark Sanders.
And this is the Mike, Mark, and Kyle Sports Show. Come on back next week, y'all.
Is that just a press?